T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're joined now by Jimmy Smith, publisher of TigerDetails.com. Jimmy, thanks for taking time with us on WWL.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. How's it going, gentlemen?
It's going fine.
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Big thing breaking right now is the Odell Beckham Jr. Thing with the Tigers. I'm sure you've heard all about it. They're saying now it's a real cash. LSU's released a statement saying that they're working with the NCAA and the SEC and the two players that are involved, basically just the two players that are still coming back, because those that have already graduated, like Burrow and such, it doesn't really matter, but just the other two that are coming back. What are you hearing about that, and how is that going to affect LSU going forward, especially with recruiting?
Well, it's shocking, Mark. I mean, I honestly thought they were just trying to wrap up a Monopoly game they didn't finish before the game, and Odell was just trying to catch up on some of those hotel landings on Park Place. But come to find out, it was real cash, you know, and for Joe to kind of tip the hand after LSU puts out a statement and so on, and for Joe to go on a podcast today and say, heck yeah, I took that money. It just kind of turns it all back around again. And just talking to people over at LSU, they feel like, honestly, being that it was on camera and so on, it's going to be made to be a bigger deal than it is. Generally, in a situation like this, the NCAA would probably just require those players to give that money back, and they would probably be cited with some minor infraction that won't result in much of a penalty at worst. And so they don't think this is really going to be a big issue. They understand it was an individual caught up in the excitement of the moment, and that's basically all it is.
Now, Jimmy, boy, fans say, well, why can't Joe Brady just stay at LSU?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, he always wanted to be in the NFL. And then as young as he is, you got to get it while you can. And all of a sudden, the hot commodity that he is. And that the fans really realize that when you're a college coach and the hours you put in, it's like NFL college, but all the recruiting and what you have to do.
Right.
And then wanting to be part of the NFL. To me, that was a no-brainer for him not to go to Carolina. Considering the opportunity. Does that make sense? I mean, because some fans say, oh, why would he leave LSU? I mean, look what he's getting paid. I mean, he could be a $1 million type coach with LSU. I'll be interested to see, Jimmy, what his contract is with Carolina. But listen, you got to get it while you can, and I don't blame Joe Brady one bit.
No, I think it's a lot harder to jump from college to the NFL than to go from the NFL back to college, right? And those windows open and close, and sometimes they're only open for a little brief time. And him being 30 years old, being able to go into a pretty good situation, too. They have a good roster in place. He's got the most dynamic running back in the league.
Right.
He has Cam Newton to play with in that RPO system if he wants him. If not, they've got a decent draft choice and could move up or maybe draft another quarterback. And I think if all things were equal, if the offers from LSU and Carolina were equal, I think Joe Brady undoubtedly takes the NFL route. And something you touched on, the hours. I mean, when you're a college coach, it's 12 months out of the year, 365. You really don't have any off time. You're on the phones recruiting. Even when you're leaving the office from the office to home, you're on the phone with prospects, and it never really stops. In the NFL, there's an actual off season. Those coaches don't have as many meetings and as many meeting time hours as a college coach has. And so their schedule allows for more of a family life and so on. So there's a lot of advantages for being an NFL coach. But if you're 30 years old, 31 years old, and given an opportunity to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL, I don't think anybody can really turn that down. But it wouldn't surprise me. I think if he has a couple decent seasons in the NFL, his name will start coming up for head coaching jobs in college. And that's just kind of what's going to happen here. So it won't be 2 or 3 years of moderate success for him to catapult himself into the head coaching conversation.
Now, Jimmy, in my opinion, I think LSU is going to be just fine. Oh, what are you talking about? I don't think a lot of fans gave Coach Ensminger enough credit. because it is a skill to be able to call plays. Now, Joe Brady and his influence speaks volumes. But what I'm hearing, because you look, it's done by committee and the trust factor, and they're all familiar with Miles Brennan, whoever might be the quarterback going forward in those meeting rooms. Well, what could you tell the fans if I'm help me if I'm butchering this, because is J-O-R-G, is Jorge or is it George Munoz? And how?
I've heard both.
Oh, you've heard both? Okay.
I think we've Americanized Jorge is what I think's happened here.
Okay. Jorge is George Americanized. Yeah. But here's a guy who was at the Heisman Trophy, presentation, and you see familiar faces, but he also was there, and his impact working with Coach Ensminger and the future QBs.
Yeah, look. All of these coaches, including Brady, you aren't born an RPO coach, right? You develop these abilities, and you learn from other people. Brady has done nothing more than take some of the things he's learned prior to going to the Saints and then meshing it with what he's learned with the Saints. And then you see the RPO, the vertical passing game, the NFL passing concepts, and the merger of those two fronts. And Steve Ensminger's got a very high football IQ. He's been in this game for a long time. A year with someone like Brady, he could learn a ton. And the playbook's in place. The structure's in place.
Right.
That was Ensminger's, he is the offensive coordinator. Joe Brady's leaving and taking his knowledge with him. Mm-hmm. He's leaving his playbook. He's leaving the foundation. And with Munoz being the analyst and the way these college football coaching staffs are structured now, it allows these analysts to kind of tap into some of that as well. And he's been attached to Burrow and Brady at the hip since he's been at LSU, so he's probably picked up a ton too. So I don't think we're going to see much different of an offensive attack now that Brady's gone. I think he's done his part in building this system and left a great foundation for these coaches to work with.
We speak with Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com. He's always on top of things. And Jimmy, you look at a fan base and they say, well, going forward, and it's the process. Coach O, this is wheelhouse of next man up. You keep those recruits coming in, you give them an opportunity. Hopefully they can take care of that opportunity. But the perfect example, Patrick Queen, look from last year to this year where he was at and his contribution. So when you look at who's available, not available, what is something, because it could be a number of players, but who would be a player you think that would definitely, I wish he was coming back, but he's leaving to go pro, or maybe a surprise that you think they might go pro and they come back? Because there's a number of players involved on the both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I think one that's leaning towards leaving right now that hasn't announced yet is Kerry Vincent. And that's a guy I think could be best served coming back and playing another year. He's been sporadic up and down throughout his career. But, there could be some personal situations that might be forcing his hand in there. I expect him to declare. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people. I do think Patrick Queen would have been well-served coming back another year. He really set himself up to be on a lot of preseason All-American watch list with that performance in the national championship game and really needs to shore up a few aspects of his game. And watching film throughout the year, he could improve on fitting the run and being a little more disciplined and his, making his first read right and not taking false steps and things of that nature. But his speed athleticism is going to translate. NFL teams want to get their hands on guys like that. He saw his opportunity now. A guy that I thought had a type of year and always seemed to be one of those guys that wanted to be three and done was Tyler Shelvin. I thought he was really going to test the NFL draft waters. Our sources right now are telling us that he's leaning towards coming back to school, which would be great news for LSU. Tyler was absolutely disruptive in the middle of that defensive line, kind of the unsung hero of that defense, played really well in a lot of key games this year, and will be vital as LSU tries to rebuild that middle of that defense at the linebacker position. To have a guy like Shelvin playing the nose is really going to help a lot in that regard.
Now, Jimmy, boy, you could see a game plan and who you attack. And, boy, you could see even Clemson seemed like they were staying away from Darryl Stingley. Boy, and I thought he bounced back. That was a legit interception by Christian Fulton. A little tug here or there, but I thought that was a nice play. But here's a guy, just shows you how competitive it is. Here's Fulton potential. I want you to comment on this. Number one, in the first round, first round draft pick. And then I'm looking at Boy, did LSU go after number 8, A.J. Terrell? I mean, and I was talking with Mike Dettillier. We thought this guy was considered probably a first-round draft pick. He didn't look like no first-round pick against LSU.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Jamar's kind of done that to a few guys this year, right? Who was that? Trevon Diggs, I think, is his name, from Alabama, number 7. That was supposed to be the high-profile potential first-round pick, and he had a really strong game against him. And I think Jamar's just different. I think Jamar is going to make most, if not every, corner look bad. And he really just had his way with Terrell, you know. And I thought going in that wasn't a great matchup for Clemson. Yeah, he has length and he can get physical, but he doesn't have that suddenness and change direction quite well enough to keep up with someone like Chase, who gets in and out of his brace extremely well. So Chase was able to have his way with him, and I think a great season altogether. He's going to come back next year. They're not going to have as big of a vertical passing attack. I think they're going to get some more quick, easier hitting reads. About his ability to run after the catch, I expect him to have another huge year next year with Miles Brennan or whoever else is at the helm.
Jimmy, we just got a report. Yahoo Sports is reporting that Justin Jefferson has decided to head to the NFL as well.
Yeah, that was another one that was expected.
Yeah.
Hey, after taking that money from Odell, right? I mean, it's either give it back or go, right? But I mean, how much higher can his ceiling go? You know, I mean, he's now in a first round pick conversation. This was a kid that, a couple of years ago wasn't even on anyone's radar. Has a monster season for LSU. If not for Jamar Chase, you know, would probably be the star of this team from the weapons, from the offensive skill positions, and just a phenomenal season. A lot of people are talking about him being a fringe first round pick. I don't think it gets any better than that for Jefferson, so I think it was probably a smart move on his behalf to declare today.
Now, Jimmy, look at Cushenberry and all that, and the offensive line. You know, I don't care if it's LSU or the Saints or, you know, college football, the pros, you know, because the fans, we follow the football. But, boy, if we're winning in the trenches, I know we always have a chance. And I tell you what, to me, that was the difference when you truly talk about the speculations. It's been probably the last couple of years, even in the summer. How's the O-line going to play and where they're at? To me, so where are we at going forward, the O-line? Because, you know, as a, you know, like Miles Brennan, look at the pressure of you never want to be the man to replace the man. Look, the Dolphins are still trying to replace Dan Marino. And, you know, John Elway had to go get Peyton Manning to replace himself. So you look at Joe Burrow, it's like unbelievable. So a quarterback's best friend, obviously, when you have weapons. Boy, but that O-line could sure help Miles Brennan, whoever it might be. So what is your take on the O-line going forward?
Well, just to expand on what you say, we had to wait for forever for Drew Brees to replace Bobby Hebert. You know, we had to go through Aaron Brooks and God knows what else. So yeah, I get it. But
his head's,
Darren Rosenthal.
His head's big enough now, Jimmy. Jimmy, his head's big enough now.
No,
don't make it any bigger.
I'm very humble.
So at left tackle, I think they're going to be better than good, to be honest with you, Bobby. I think Darren Rosenthal, a guy they got from Faraday High School a few years ago, converted defensive lineman. I mean, this kid's got everything you want. If you were to build a prototypical left tackle for the NFL, a guy that can bend, a guy that's light on his feet, plays with the mean streak, has tremendous length at 6'6", 6'7", 330 pounds, but fairly lean. I mean, he checks all those boxes. And they said he's really bought in to playing that position, and they expect him to really excel last year, and they think he's a potential first-round pick at left tackle. I can't tell you the last time LSU's had a potential first-round pick. Actually, I could. Lel Collins, who played left tackle but was projected to play right tackle or even guard in the NFL, was projected to be a potential first-round pick before the whole draft day fiasco. So, they think Rosenthal is going to step in. Ed Ingram's coming back, having an offseason, getting back in shape this year. They think he's going to be really strong. Austin Deculus coming back. They've recruited well at the position. They like a lot of the young guys they have coming in. Marcus Dumervil, Xavier Hill. They think these guys could be ready to play early as well. So I think they're in a good shape moving forward. Of course, that continuity is not going to be there. The unit they put on the field this year played a lot of snaps together previously, and so you've got to kind of build some of that continuity again. But the talent's there, and I think as long as they don't suffer any injuries early in next season, they'll be able to bring along quality depth that could help them sustain a quality football throughout the year.
Now, Jim, with all the football you've witnessed right here with the LSU Tigers, Boy, you look at Patrick Peterson, and you, I want you to explain this from the get-go, Connor. Then you look at Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. But I'm looking at Stingley, Darryl Stingley. And even though when he got picked on, boy, he would not get discouraged, you know, in a game, and then he'll come up with a big play. Now, I hope he could turn to the Honey Badger as a punt returner. And I think the more experience he gets, he can be. But isn't the sky the limit? Could he potentially be even better? Now, that's a lot. That's a tough task. Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu. The one thing about Tyrann Mathieu is he would influence and take away the football. If Stingley right. does that or has a big play in the return game, then he might be considered the best of all time, considering how great Patrick Peterson and even Tyrann Mathieu, what they've done in LSU uniform.
Yeah, I mean, Stingley's just unreal. And like you said, I mean, when he entered LSU, he was 17 years old. He was a fresh 18 when he hit the field this year in week one to start the season. And other than that one game against Devontae Smith, who's one of the premier receivers in college football, he's been outstanding in 14 of these 15 games. And you saw it when Clemson, who has some great play designers, great play callers, who had an extra week to prepare. You could tell when they came out on that field halfway through that game, part of their game plan offensively was, let's not try number 24. You know, I mean, I think for the whole first four or five series, he was only tested on one slant route, if I recall correctly. So he's made his presence known. He's got super ability, super potential. I think he's ahead of Patrick Peterson from a technique and discipline standpoint at this point in his careers. He checks all the other athletic boxes. He might be a little bit longer than Patrick Peterson. As far as a punt returner, I think we saw some of that confidence in this past game. He didn't have any big punt returns, but you saw his willingness and desire to try to make something happen in the punt return game, which I feel like he didn't have a lot of that throughout the regular season. So the sky's the limit with this kid moving forward. I mean, I expect really 2 years from now, when he's NFL draft ready and he declares early, which he will, they might be saying he's the top overall player in the draft. Kind of like how they speak of Chase Young this year, right?
Whoa.
Not going to be the top overall pick, but might be the top rated player. And I think we're going to hear some of those same conversations when it's Derek Stingley's time to go to the NFL.
All right. Jimmy Smith, publisher of TigerDetails.com. How can people follow you on Twitter?
At Jimmy Detail. Jimmy Smith was taken. Go figure. So it's at Jimmy Detail. Publisher Tiger Details. Check us out.
All right, Jimmy Smith, thanks so much for taking time with us here on Sports Talk.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.